Hello, 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 and welcome to the second episode of Cherry Picked, bitch. The dramatic pause is really your thing.
Yeah, well, I keep waiting for a cue that you never give me. You just kind of look at me the whole time, and then you just go quiet, and I'm never ready.
Well, I like look at you, and I'm like, I try to raise my eyebrows, but then I realize that it's the Botox, and I'm like, I'm not raising my eyebrows, but I think I am.
They have not moved at all. I still can't tell. Just your eyes open wider.
Okay, so that's your cue. My eyes are gonna open wide. Actually, that like kind of hurt my eyeballs.
You could just like point at me or thumbs up or something. Yeah, there
okay,
you go.
I'll do that.
There you go.
Okay, well, that was our intro.
That would have been more on time.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Well, Julia's back because you guys asked a lot of questions.
By popular demand,
and we both just ADHD'd through the first episode. Yep. But I'm glad you guys found it interesting. I think Julia's kind of cool.
Oh, thank you.
Don't tell her that, though.
Well, I'm glad that people could relate to it because I forget that, like, people have gone through things like this and a lot worse. So like, it's more relatable than I realize sometimes.
Yeah. And that's kind of why I wanted to have you on and talk about that first, because I wanted to cherry pick that amazing thing that happened to you and talk about that amazing time, which we got through.
Nearly lost my life.
Which I want to talk about another amazing time really quick, a short story, because we didn't touch on it last episode about how I got moose. And I want to say from your perspective, because the only reason why I have moose is because of you. That we have moose is because of you. Mm-hmm. So I want you to tell that story, and then we have a lot of questions to get through.
Oh, boy.
So
wow.
Now this is your cue and pointing.
That was good. See that? I understand.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Well, moose. Okay. I'm working on it. How long have we had him now? 4 years?
Well, we got him at 6 months. So we've had him, and he's four now. And
because it was right during the pandemic. It was 2020.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yes. So 2020, mid-pandemic, my friend and I were out to eat at Crisp and Green. We were sitting outdoors because, of course, you can't go inside. And these two girls walk past with him on a leash, and he is the tiniest, fluffiest, cutest little thing. And I just, like, squealed. I just was like, oh my God. Like, I just, like, you know, when you see a puppy and you just make a noise.
And he was so fucking cute.
So, he's so floppy. Like, oh yeah, my God.
And he was, like, so small because he was only 6 months old.
And he hadn't, I don't think he had a haircut yet.
No, because it was during COVID, so they couldn't take him to get a haircut.
And so he just looked, oh my God, he looked so funny.
You couldn't even see his eyes.
I know. And, like, his ears, everything was just so floppy. He's doing a little puppy trot that he still kind of does.
Yeah.
And so they walked past, and I kind of just, like, squealed. And they were like, oh, do you guys want to pet him? Like, they just stopped right next to us. And they're like, you guys want to pet him? And my friend was like, hell yeah, we do. And so we talked to them for a while, and we pet him, whatever, whatever. And then they were going to go inside and get food. And they were like, oh, well, we probably can't bring him in. And my friend was like, we'll watch him. I was like, hell yeah, man. I'm so glad you're speaking up for the both of us.
I feel like you're on my team.
And so they're like, okay, cool. So they gave us the leash. They went inside to get food. We're hanging out with him, and he's just like smelling everything, being so cute. And they come back out, and I go to hand him the leash, and they were like, do you want him per chance? And I thought they were joking, and I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, he's so cute. And they're like, no, like we're trying to rehome him, like would you want him? And I was like, I genuinely cannot tell if like you're
joking.
Like, are you fucking
well, and he's like a purebred, like
he's an expensive dog.
Yeah,
like teacup multi-poo, like the bred to be perfect and tiny, like yeah, thousands of dollars.
He's like the teddy bear dog. That's what they call him, teddy bear dog.
Like they're expensively bred dogs for that reason.
The paperwork was $2,500.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm like, are you joking? Like I cannot tell because you seem like dead ass. And they're like, no, like we have three German shepherds. We live in an apartment. He barks a lot. Like we're genuinely looking for a home. You can take him right now. Like we will give you his leash right now. And I was like, am I about to get like, are they gonna like, is this like a scam? And so I was like, well, like, if you're serious, then, like, I do, but, like, I gotta get approval from, like, everybody else, because during COVID, we all lived together, like, all of us. And so I sent a picture of him to my family, and immediately, everyone's on board, yes, immediate yes, and then mom, which is how we knew we got her, she was like, well, maybe, could they bring him to the house and just have him meet Zeus, like, maybe, we knew she was in, because usually it's a hard and fast no.
Well, and it was because he doesn't shed, which is always her thing with dogs, she's like, he has to be hypoallergenic. They have to be small.
Small, yep.
And
all
he
of
was
her criteria.
So fucking cute.
Yeah. And so she's like, well, you know, maybe they could just bring him over and see. And like three other people at Crisp and Green were like, if you don't want him, please text us. Like, we want him. And so I think it was that night or the next night.
It was that night.
That night. Yeah, they brought him over with all of his stuff. And he ran in the yard. He met Zeus. And mom was sold. And they're like, okay, cool. Here you go. And that was it.
Yeah. And I remember texting the family chat. I was like, mom, I was like, we will take him when we move out. Like, it can be our dog. We will take care of him. Like, I promise. And I had a nursing test the next morning. And
that's right.
It was my final nursing exam. And it was, I don't even remember what class it was, but I was nearing the end of nursing school. Mm-hmm. And My fiance at the time, now husband, had to go sleep in one of the closets with him. Like, it was a big walk-in closet, but I could not sleep at all because he was whining and he was so sad that they left. It was so heartbreaking. Yeah. But he would just not chill the fuck out. And I'm like, I have an exam at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to. And if you fail a nursing exam, you're fucked. Like, mm-hmm. you have to retake class mm-hmm. if your average is too low. And I just remember his little poor little body. He had to go. Yeah. The coast was up all night with him. I was like, I felt so bad.
And we really thought that, like, oh, the first night was just rough. He'll grow out of the separation anxiety. L-O fucking L
is right, because it is still here and going as fucking strong. As ever. As strong as ever. I'm like, I have no life now. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm like, he's like, I need to get him on anxiety medication.
I think you both should be on anxiety medication. And you both should be on.
You want to talk about what you should together. Be on? Girl.
No, thank you. Just yeah. would be preferable. This podcast about you. Let's leave me out of it.
No, the first episode is all about you, girl. Yeah, I think literally.
He needs anxiety medication just for his own sake, because I feel bad that he's so anxious.
I do too.
But then, yeah, he just needs to. You have to be able to do things, and you can't because he's so anxious.
I know. And I feel bad because he is like only 9 pounds and he's shakes. So little. And he just shakes. And yeah. It's like really heartbreaking. And the, like, I can't even imagine summer. Like, I'm going to have to call into work if there's a thunderstorm.
Oh my God. Yeah. Because he does not handle thunder.
No. And I'm like, there's no other option. Like, and I'm going to have to call into work.
It's not like he just gets sad. He like visibly shakes, his tail's between his legs. Like it's honestly so sad to
it
see.
It looks like he's almost having a seizure.
Like, you feel so guilty.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's so tiny that it's just like, the baby.
Yeah. And it's like, even with a thunder vest, like, he still is like not okay. So no. I'm like, we'll figure that out, because that would suck. Yeah. But yeah, that's how we got our little baby. That's how we got Louis. My little Mimi. My little boo boy.
He's sleeping. Leave him alone. Don't wake him up.
Sorry. I'm just so obsessed with him. So, yeah, that's how we got my baby. And a lot of people have asked how I got him. And it was all because of Julia. And I think the only reason why my mom probably said yes is because we said that we would take him when we moved out. And he became our dog. And I'm so happy because he's literally my little ham. So
definitely not expected.
No. I would have never picked to have a dog in nursing school. Are you kidding me? No. And I always said I'm not the type of person that... I like to be on the go. Yeah. I'm a very go, go, go person. And so to have a dog that, especially like him, I feel like he's teaching me patience and he's teaching mm-hmm. me lessons that I...
Flexibility.
I am a very flexible person. Not, well, physically and...
Well, I mean, more so like you... he's a priority for you.
Yeah.
And so you make things work around him because it's important to you.
I'm a good mother.
Yeah, you kind of are a mother.
I'm a good
mom. Some people might be a little bit triggered, like, you're not a mom, but...
I'm a dog.
It's as
mama.
Close as you can get right now.
I don't want to birth one on my badge, okay?
Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine?
No, I absolutely not. I think about that like at least twice a week in fear.
I know. I'm like, I don't think I want that. I mean, during clinicals, I saw there would be women that would come in after birth to get their incisions checked and all that. And we had to do this one exam on this lady. I felt so bad. She ripped all the way through.
No.
And we had to check her stitches. And then we had to use like silver nitrate on it because some of her... like flesh wasn't healing, and I'm like,
I hate it.
I was like, I feel bad, but I'm like about to throw up. Like,
yeah,
like, and also like, how are you gonna ever look at yourself down there again?
They say it heals. I don't know.
Oh yeah, what I saw is still in my brain. In my brain.
I do remember a friend of mine after she had a baby. She it was only a few weeks later, and I saw. I think it was maybe a little bit because it was during COVID. It was like a month later because they wanted to wait a month before we could see the baby. And she goes, yeah, it was probably 6 weeks. And she goes, Julia. I said, what? She goes. I made a mistake. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, I looked at my vagina. And I was like, what do you mean? And she goes, I squatted over the mirror.
Oh, no.
And she goes, it's horrendous. She's like, I made a mistake. I cannot see it. And I thought it was the funniest thing ever because, yeah, I never really thought about the first time you look at it afterwards. Oh. And she's like, it does not look the same.
Well, you were pushing like sometimes like upwards of like 5 to 9 pounds out of there.
Yeah.
And So anyway, we just got ADHD anyway. On track. Sorry about that little vagina being dog.
I don't want to talk about birth anymore.
We're moving on. So you guys submitted some questions for Julia, and now we're going to dig in. She has not seen these yet.
I know. I'm a little nervous. I don't do well with not being aware of what's happening.
I know, but I kind of like
my
it.
My panic answers. I always
like
feel
this control.
Injured. I know you do.
I feel powerful.
I know you do. And yeah. I feel afraid.
Okay. Are you
I
ready?
I feel like I always feel like I have to answer really fast, and then I just like, this is the word.
Is it because of me?
Yeah. You stress me out. So I'm going to
think... Am I too much for you?
You know...
Shut up. Am I too much for you? I can't tell if you're raising your eyebrows either.
Let's start. I'm just going to think about my answers instead of panic answering.
Yeah, take your time, girl. We have no rush. Mm. We have to make this an hour long anyway. People requested longer from us.
Oh,
Yeah. So take your time.
I was like, 30 minutes in and out. Okay.
Oh,
I'm settled
then. We're already 10 minutes in.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, we talk a lot. Okay. You ready? Yep. Clear your throat because this is a good one.
So not fun to listen to.
Oh, shit. I'm definitely going to turn the volume down on that for her, but oh well.
Okay, I'm ready.
The first question. You ready?
Yep.
The first of 20.
Oh, wow. Hit me.
How do you sisters choose supporting each other versus competing against each other?
You started with a very intense one.
We can do every other because some of them are like kind of for both of us.
Yeah.
So we can do every other if you want. I won't put you all on the spot.
Thank you so much. Would you like to do that one or do you want me to do that one?
I'll do that one first.
Okay.
And I'll, because I know that your answer is probably going to be better.
I have a feeling we're going to say every other, but we're just going to cut each other off and finish.
That's true. That's true. It's just how it's going to be.
So let's say just you start.
Okay. Because the next one is directed towards you to answer. So.
Well, thank you.
I feel like Julia and I, we're like typical siblings. There was a phase that we went through competing against each other because I felt personally as the oldest sibling growing up, like I did everything first because I was the oldest. Mm-hmm. And then also I felt like growing up, even though I did it first and they learned, I felt like whenever Julia did it, she was more successful at it. Even if it was something that I really, really wanted. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of times where I take full accountability for now where I'm like, I didn't feel like I was supporting you because I was jealous or I was angry. And there's a lot of situations where I was like, I wanted it so bad and things never seemed to work for me or never seemed to like go the way that I want. But for her, they seemed to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took me a long time to be like, I'm genuinely letting go of that control and just supporting fully.
Yeah.
I feel like we finally now, or I'd say over the last couple of years, have finally gotten better at it. But there's still situations where we both kind of just freeze and we're like, why are you asking? Like, because we've been typical siblings who are close in age, who are both girls, who are both have a lot of skills and talents and a lot of the same because we came from the same parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like for me, it was a journey, but I feel like I'm finally at that place where she is starting, we're starting to support each other more versus competing. But there was a long time where we do compete and there's still situations where I'm like, where we both are probably competing against each other, even in our brain and the other one doesn't know, you know?
Yeah. I feel like it's definitely a learning curve. It was not, definitely not always that way. But I feel like you almost have to hold yourself accountable and check yourself. Like, hey, you know what? This is really exciting for them. This is tough for me because I want this and I'm, you know, not selfish, jealous, whatever. You feel some type of way about it. But kind of trying to check yourself and just be happy that they're happy. Be proud of them. Be whatever. Because that's going to help the relationship.
Yeah.
Which, again, is so much easier said than done. And it's easier in retrospect. But I also think that just as we've gotten older, I think we're coming around more so to the idea that like just because you want something doesn't mean it's meant for you.
Totally.
And like, you know, even though you want something and you're good at something, like it just might not be what's for you and you can't force it. You know, when you force something, it breaks. And even things that like, you know, with me and music, things that worked out, you know, you were jealous of them in the moment, but now 6, 7, 8 years later, like they turned into a disaster.
Right.
And it ended up being a really difficult experience for me when in that moment it was like, she's made it. And I was like, 6 years. I'm like, fuck, I know I did not. Like,
I know. And here I was, the oldest sibling. I'm like, fuck, here I am. Just, just not making it. And I wanted so bad to work out for me. And then you had the one song just pop off. And it was like,
thought it was working.
Yeah. It was just
and then it went downhill. So it's like, let it play out because you might be really jealous of, you know, your sibling or your friend. And then 3 years later, it's like, damn, we fought so much. And that situation is over. Like, it's not even happening anymore. And two, like, not that this is a reason to do it, but if you support them and you're proud of them, they'll want to bring you with them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they might get free tickets to something or free whatever, or they might get to go do something cool and they'll want you there because they appreciate your support. So not that that's a goal, but just know that you will be more part of the circle if you can be supportive.
And I do think that like, if you're not supportive, it takes a lot to get back to that supportive phase where you don't question. Because there are still situations where you and I both like have our guard put up because we're so used to not even just us being jealous, but people in our lives being jealous and people in our lives using and, you know, trying to compete against us or being happy for us, but only because they want to find out more about the situation, not being genuinely happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it builds resentment and it takes a lot to get out of resentment and out of that phase. So I would agree with you for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
What discussion we just had.
Oh, now we're on number two. Okay. You ready?
Yep.
And this one, I'm just going to sit back and soak it all in.
Oh, no.
But I'll answer it about you, okay? They didn't ask me. They asked you. This is your second episode.
I mean, this is your podcast and they all know you. I am just some rando, so.
Not anymore. Adam Sandler over here.
Thank you.
What do you admire about Savannah? I'm ready. Let me just lay it all on me.
I will need some time.
What? You need time? You need time.
Let's
see. I raised you, girl. I took the fall for you, girl.
No.
There was one time that Julia colored on the wall. Oh
my gosh, I know.
Julia colored on the wall.
No, I didn't. No, that is not what happened. Uh-huh. No, I let you take the fall, but I didn't do it. Here's a story. No, we need to clear this up once and for all. We argue over the story. I was like 5 years old.
And I was older, so how do you remember more than me?
I remember clear as day because I this is a little psychopathic.
Did you get in trouble?
No, but I remember I remember feeling guilty. But I also remember feeling like, oh, damn, I am a genius.
Oh, I like a psycho.
It was a bit of a psychopathic moment because I was 5 and you were 8 or something to that nature, and you had this heart necklace. It was like a necklace with a heart, and at the bottom of the heart there was a pen. And
I was so cool with that.
We were like, oh my god, wow.
It's like a necklace and a pen.
Wow.
And
we were in mom and dad's room. I don't know why, but we had went over to the closet, pushed all their clothes to the side. They had this light, like, tan gray paint. And you took your necklace and you looked at me. You said, should I draw on the wall? And I said, and I just nodded. I don't think I ever said yes. I think I just nodded. Because I was like, I didn't, in my 5-year-old psychopathic brain, I was like, don't say anything. Just
just nod, because then she can't say you said
so
yes.
I nodded. So you started drawing. I think mom and dad, I don't remember them coming into the room, but all I remember next is you were sent to your room. I was in the hallway, and I remember mom marching over there, and dad looks at me, and he goes, did you draw on the wall? And I just shook my head no, because I did not.
Yeah, but I think that what happened it was
enabled her.
You went and told mom and dad I drew on the wall. After you had told me, we would have pushed the clothes back and everything would have been fine. Everything would have been fine. We would have had the time of our lives and we would have gotten away with it.
That's actually so funny because I don't remember how that turned out. I think I blocked that part out.
Yeah, you blocked that part out, bitch. Uh-huh. I would just like to say that was the first time I called you bitch this episode, and it's 16 minutes in, okay?
I'm so proud of you. Well, also, yes, I would just like to say I did not write on the wall. I just told you to do it.
Uh-huh.
So they said, did you write on the wall? I said, no.
My people pleasing started really young.
And my sneaky middle child was born.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah. What was the question?
What do you admire about me?
I love that you'll take the fall. No,
shut the fuck up.
Oh, let's see.
I will, though. That's the sad thing, is I totally will.
Let's see. I really admire your drive, your ambition, your passion for your work and your projects and things that you love. Your podcast. I think I love, too, and this is such a first child and older sister thing, but you are such a, like, you want to take care of things. Oh, my God.
Dramatic.
I'm sorry. I choked on the air. I don't know what
happened. It was overwhelming for you to say all this nice stuff about me.
You're calm with emotion. No, but I feel like you want to help and you want to take care of things. So if I have a bad day, like, I'll buy you this. What do you want? I'll get you this. What can I do? I'll bring you over this. Like, you want to fix and help and make someone feel better so bad, which sometimes it's bad because your people pleaser comes in, but it's also so sweet and you have this, like, I want to help type of a vibe.
I'm endearing.
You're just so sweet. I feel like I was going to say a different word, but that didn't happen. But yeah, you're very generous. Like, you could have $200 and be like, I'll give you $150. I only need this much for gas. Like, you just give the rest away because you're like, I don't need it. So you're very generous. You're very sweet. You're very protective. And I feel like nice is such a, there's such a better word than nice, but like, I just feel like you're such a good person. Like, you have such a good heart.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Like, you just, I don't know. You know, when people, you can just feel that their soul is good.
Yeah.
And there's some people where it's like, yours is not.
Right. The energy. Like, yeah. You can just sense that.
Like, you just have a very genuine energy. And I feel like you're just at your core, you're just a very good person and you care a lot.
Aw, thanks, Joe.
I was just going to point out that was so many more than one thing.
That was like a lot of things. That was so amazing. What can I say? Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Now I'm going to get emotional. I need my wine. I need my wine to make it through. Well, now it's my turn. I mean, I don't know if I can follow that. I'm like, maybe I do need my wine. But no, I would say what I love about you is that even though you're my little sister, I feel like I got that older sibling role where it's like, even though like, I was the first kid, so I had it hard, like the hardest and like more discipline and like, you know, I had more challenges to face first as like the oldest that you guys got to see and then change growing up. I feel like in those moments, like, I still count on you to be my person to go to. And I know that if anyone's going to have my back, it's going to be you, even if we're like fighting and there's things where I know that you are going to give me the truth of both sides. I don't know if that's a middle child thing, but you're going to say like, hey, look at it from this perspective. Mm-hmm. And this is the situation. I'm angry. And you tell me when it's okay for me to be upset, which I really like, because mm-hmm. I tend to let people walk all over me. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a lot of people in my life that truly want like what's best for me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what's best for me might not be best for everyone else in their situation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you're a very genuine, kind-hearted, but also you worry about me giving so much and me like mm-hmm. doing too much for everyone else and not thinking about myself, mm-hmm. that you allow me to be okay when things aren't okay. And even when I try to mask it, where I'm like, oh, this situation happened, but it's okay. And I try to like shrug it off. You're like, no, like it's okay to be mad. It's mm-hmm. okay to do all those things. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you're like my number one cheerleader. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like you are, if I am in a fight with anyone and I need a lawyer, Julia will bite their head off, which yeah. I love.
Got you.
Which I love. And she's also so good with her words that when I struggle with something, I'm like, Julia, can you just like read through this? And like, I just need a second opinion. And then she'll send it back. And it's like, wow, like what? Like, it's amazing. So I feel like she has the best intentions with everyone that she cares about. And I think that that is the most beautiful thing about you, is that when you care so deep. And so passionately. And when someone's on your bad side, they know, and you don't fake it. Like you're nice to everyone or kind to everyone. Mm-hmm. And even like your worst enemy, you'll be kind to. And if you hear Moose scratching right now, it's just him on the couch. Just
digging into the couch.
Just doing his thing, trying to make his mark on the podcast. But yep. You know.
He's like, oh, you guys are busy. Let me interrupt you.
Moose. He just wants attention. But no, so I feel like I'm so lucky to have a sister that's 3 years younger than me. But I also feel like you're sometimes older than me in mm-hmm. so many different ways. Yeah. Like some of the things I lack in, you help me in, yeah. You know?
I feel like we're a very, very classic, like any video that you see on TikTok of like older sister versus younger sister, that is us to a T.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
And it's like the one you sent me today where you're like, I'm so stressed. What are you stressed about? It's like, that is literally us. Like
everything. Don't worry about it.
Right. Don't worry about it. I'll be fine. And I'm like, how will this be fine? How in the world will this be fucking fine?
Yep.
I definitely am an overthinker, but you're an overthinker too. But I feel like we overthink in different ways.
Yeah. It's interesting. I do feel like we do the same things, but also in a very different way.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
It's just weird. So yeah, but that's what I admire about you. And I admire your resilience. That's the other thing. I feel like with all the battles that life has thrown at you, over the last 5 years especially, I would have been like, shut the fuck up. It's time for me to go. Where's the bridge? Like, bye. Like, because I'm just that dramatic extra person. But I feel like with you, like, you didn't allow these low, low, low moments to overcome your kindness and your heart and your caring personality, you know?
Oh,
you didn't let it take your light, which I'm proud of you for.
Thank you.
Because a lot of people in your situation, I feel like, would let it take some of that light. And I feel like I would maybe be one of those people.
Yeah.
But here I am going through crazy life stuff. And I'm like, maybe I have that too. You know, you never know your strength until you go through that shit.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like, your resilience is really impactful and powerful.
Thank you. It's kind of interesting. I've had a few people make that comment to me in the last just couple weeks where they're like, I'm so impressed that everything you've gone through hasn't kind of broken your spirit, quote unquote. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of interesting that I feel like my attitude the whole time, which some people don't like the saying, like, it is what it is, but I feel like that's really kind of been my mindset. Like, it really just is what it is. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Your pancreas is dead. Your body doesn't work.
It's not all the way dead.
And your label's the worst. Like, it is what it is. What are you going to do, you know? Like, you can only control what you can control.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you focus on the things you can't, you are going to be so stressed out and depressed about it.
For sure. And I feel like all of the, like, me, you, and Nathan, I feel like we're very, like, you hear the term, like, old souls a lot, mm-hmm. but I feel like all three of us kids have that almost wiser than their years type of personality. Like, I mm-hmm. feel like all of us in our own way have that in different ways.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Proud of you.
Thank you.
But moving on from you, because I'm tired of talking about you. the third one, okay, this is not necessarily a question, but it says, OMG, you guys look so different, but also look like twins at the same time. I cannot tell you.
Hilarious.
We got told that today at work.
How many people? Yeah. And it's funny because they'll say, like, you guys are twins. And then they're like, well, actually. Or it's the vice versa where they're like, no, I don't see it. Oh my God, I do. Like,
yeah.
It's always the same exact as that.
And then it's like mannerisms. They're always like, you guys act the same or you guys look the same. And then they always think Julia's older.
Yes, they do.
Which I'm like, is that a compliment or a diss?
I'm just so cool, calm, and collected. Thank you.
Until you get pissed off and then it's like, run.
I feel like until you know me really well in this version of me.
Oh, yeah. But
you
now,
guys will probably not think that at all.
Now you guys see her. Like, if you guys would have met her, like, when we were younger.
Yeah.
Like, she was just very quiet, just like reserved. Like, but then when you got to know her, she would open her like shell up a little bit. But that's why I'm like, I'm so happy you're opening up your shell, because I'm like, you're a fun fucking person. You have to let people see you.
Yeah, I think it's funny because people think we kind of look alike, but then when you see us in a room together, they're like, oh, we see it.
Yeah, and then then when we're both not like on our ADHD meds, like we are tonight again because we're filming this at night, it's like the spiral is not always ideal, but oh well. The fourth one is she a nurse as well or in training? So kind of tell me, who are you? What do you do for your life?
Oh, yes. My name is Julia. I am... I don't know why I said that.
My favorite color is yellow. I am a Gemini.
Anyway, I'm a nurse. Yes. I'm a nurse.
I'm a nurse.
I forgot what I was going to say after that.
I'm a nurse.
So while I was in nursing school, I took like a... I dual enrolled in like a phlebotomy course. So I started working as a phlebotomist while I finished nursing school. Once I became a nurse, I took a role as an IV nurse, an infusion nurse at our clinic. And so I am responsible for like our vitamin drips.
She's therapy. The one that gives me IVs all the time.
Yes.
And takes my blood.
Yeah. So I draw all the labs and I do the IVs. And then I am slotted to be the next aesthetic apprentice. So yes, I am a nurse.
She's a nurse.
Board registered, baby.
She's a nurse. She has not gotten bullied into doing her master's program yet, though. So... she's lucky.
The more they bully me, the more I resist.
I don't bully. I say you shouldn't do it because I don't want to do it. I haven't taken boards yet.
The hard part is it's like I do enjoy school and I enjoy learning, but the thought, the commitment of not only, honestly, if it was just book work, I would probably do it, but the thought of another year of clinicals.
The clinicals is where I had my breaking point.
I just, that, like, I feel like too, once you get out of school and you have like your evenings to yourself. And you can make plans. Oh. And you don't have to think about due dates and fucking discussion posts. Oh, my God.
Replying on two separate days to two separate people over 150 words.
I want to jump through something when I think about that.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Like, I like PTSD from discussion posts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even trying to be dramatic. But, like, when I think about that, that alone is like, oh, I don't want to do it. Discussion posts, absolutely not.
And master's program has so many discussion posts. Because then you also have for clinicals. And you have, then you have to... chart every
and then you have to respond to at least two on two different days, and then you have to respond to all the responses.
Yeah. Oh, and the teacher will respond and ask like a dumb question. It's like, okay, well, I have to go research that, and then I have to have two sources.
And then you do all that, and you still only get 4.5 out of 5 points. I'm like, are you fucking?
And then they don't
tell
you why you got the 0.5 off. They don't tell you why.
I'm sweating. I'm getting frustrated. So yes,
I'm like chewing my nails. I'm like, it's making me anxious.
Solely like assignments.
Yeah.
Yes, but right now I'm okay with my bachelor's in nursing.
You know what? Yeah, you know what? I get that. I
feel like that's good enough.
It is good enough. And you know what? Good for you.
Thank you.
We're moving on because this is going to make me stressed. I'm like, it reminds me that I still have to take that exam. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, moving on.
Anyway. Anyway. Okay.
Next
is, this is also college. So one second.
No.
One piece of advice for a college student currently struggling to find balance. I would say that balance is nearly impossible when you're in college. And I feel like people don't get it. And I think that's the hardest part is... the hardest lesson for me was saying no. And I struggled with that through my whole master's program is I didn't want to miss out. And because I had such bad FOMO that I didn't want to miss out. But then also it just drained me. And then I took it out on the people closest to me because they could see that side of me, which wasn't fair to them.
Yeah.
And I do regret like some of those things that happened during school where I was just not my best self because you're just not your best self. So it's okay to not have a balance. I don't think you can have a balance when you're in school. I think the biggest thing is just not overcommitting and overloading yourself. And if people don't understand that, then you have to let them go when you're in school because otherwise your mental health will suffer because people take because they just don't understand what you're going through.
Well, it's tough because I feel like it depends on what kind of person you are too. Like you are at your core, you are a people pleaser. You're a nice person. You don't want to disappoint anybody. And so for you, it is incredibly difficult to set boundaries and have a balance. Mm-hmm. And my therapist always says that how people react to you setting boundaries is their problem. And so it's like, honestly, my advice, because I do feel like I was pretty decent at the balance. My advice is like, you have to be selfish. If you don't want to go, be like, I can't. They don't need to know why. I'd be like, I can't school. Blame school for everything. And be selfish. If you need a night off and you need to not go to a party or you need to not go to something, or if you just want to watch Netflix, that's okay. Like, and if
a brain break or a mental break.
Yeah. Or like certain priorities. Like for me, people would get mad at me, but I'd be like, hey, I'm going to class all day. I'm going to my 12-hour clinical. I'm going to the gym and then I'm going home. People would be like, well, you shouldn't go to the gym or you shouldn't do this or you should go to your event or whatever instead. And I was like, nope, this is what I need to do for me. I'm going to do that. And people would get mad. Like, you're being selfish. And I'm like, cool. But that's what I need right now because I'm going to lose my shit if I don't have my own structure and do what I need to do.
Yeah, like your mental health has to come in first for sure. And I feel like too, it's one of those things where it just depends on who you are as a person. Because I feel like each kid is different with how they grow up. And like how we grew up was like, I remember mom when we were really younger, like if you have no good reason to say no, then don't say no. And that was hammered into my brain. So for me, I'm always like, okay, yes. And then I commit and then I get so overwhelmed that I would just like freeze because I like I have so much shit to do and I can't get it done. And I still struggle with that. But we have to pause because the dog is scratching. So we're going to pause for a second, guys. Sorry, we are just two working mamas here. Working mamas. Hold on. It is so dang hard being a mother. It is so hard to be a mother. We're back.
Sorry about that.
The dogs had to pee. And we're just two working women by ourselves.
Two working women.
You know? I had to get some Nerd Bites too, so those are by me. So we're all good. So, yeah, that's finding balance.
Anyway.
Oh, we're moving on. So, what is your favorite memory with me?
Oh, that's a good one.
I know. I was trying to think about that too when I read it. And I'm like, there's so many good memories because I feel like we had so many good memories.
Yeah.
I don't know. I loved when we would play Barbies at the cabin with that Barbie dollhouse that we had. That shit was so fun.
I feel like I'm trying to think of just something you specific. Because I think of a lot of like fun memories as a kid in general.
Yeah.
Like when mom would let us roll in paint or dad would drive us in the tractor on like the big, like he'd lift us up in the scooper thingy.
And then he would make those piles of snow with the tractor. Yes, and we made
Yeah, like little igloos.
And he would, did he let you jump off the roof that one year when the snow was so high?
No, because mom freaked out when you did, so I didn't get to.
Yeah, being first child sometimes gets benefits, okay?
Or like, I don't know, we used to do weird shit around the house. Like, what's it called? When we'd always go down to the craft room.
We loved our crafts.
And I would just watch you make crafts mostly. I didn't want to participate, I just wanted to watch it happen. You colored on Nathan a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Dad got...
Do you remember when Dad got so mad at us when we dressed Nathan up as a girl?
Yes.
He got so mad.
We put him in the stroller.
Yes.
In a little Barbie dress. I remember, I feel like me and Nathan did this more, but I feel like you did it sometimes. Do you remember when one of us would wear Heelys, we'd put a belt around the other one and we'd play horse?
Yes.
And the person had to run and drag us in. Yes.
That shit was so fun. Or like at the cabin, do you remember like searching for rocks when we'd go to the sandbar
and all the agates?
Yes.
We played mermaids.
Yeah. Oh, that was so fun. Childhood was so fun.
Yeah, we had a lot. We did a lot of fun things. And like where we grew up and like we didn't have neighbors and like with the sprinkler and the golf cart. And,
yeah.
Like, we just did a lot of wild shit. No one was around to like monitor us.
Who did we throw off the golf cart? Was it?
Me.
Did I throw you?
Yes. That's my favorite memory. That hurt. It was on the sport court. It was on the cement, the one patch of cement in our yard. Savannah's driving. I was sitting on, because our babysitter at the time, I was sitting on her lap because we just thought we were going for a nice tool around the yard.
We were.
And you, what, skirt, on the friggin' sport court.
I always bet it a rush. I have no idea why. What, didn't you flip the snowmobile? The little one on your own?
No, I think that was also you.
Oh,
I flipped. And people say I'm a bad driver.
Yeah, you were the one that you totaled how many cars?
They weren't my fault, actually.
Yeah, but you still totaled them.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault. It was the rain.
No, it was the rain.
One was hail. Nathan's car got totaled because of hail. A trailer backed into me.
That was my car.
And
alarm. You guys get to see the trauma that I have to deal with when she gets low. Do you need
my? I have my juice over here. My drink low blood sugar monitor alarm just went off.
See, guys, I just want to just highlight this. Moment exactly. This will go off all the time. And then she thinks that I'm the crazy one to message the dudes that she was out with way back when.
That was a long time ago.
When I thought she was dying. But still, I'm like, don't say that I'm the crazy double mom. I'm like, yeah. I am your mother.
It'd be like 1:30 in the morning and I was out with my friends and she'd message everyone in the group. Like, is my sister alive?
Yeah, because I woke up in a panic thinking that I was dying or someone was breaking into my house. I was like, what the fuck is that alarm?
Yeah, that's my low blood sugar.
Especially when you were first diabetic, because like, we didn't really know at first. Uh-huh. Like, we were all learning with you. Now I'm like, oh, it's just Julia being Julia. But
now
like,
people just get mad at me. They're like, Julia, fucking fix it.
I'm right. Sorry. Well, I'm like, she's like, oh, I took my insulin. I'm like, did you eat? No. Well, then go fucking eat.
Well, if you're a diabetic or have one in your family, you know that you have to wait a certain amount of time after you take your insulin or it'll go too high. But if you wait too long, it goes too low. It's annoying. Anyway, don't let me stop you.
Anyway, so that was a glimpse into my life and her life. Any minor bites?
No, you want to know one of my favorite memories of you.
Oh, no.
Actually, it's actually the most traumatizing, but I think of it all the time. Do you remember?
Oh, no.
It was more scary than anything. We were at our old Plymouth house. We were on the swing set. It was late at night. It was like 9:30 at night. It was dark outside in the summer. And it was just the two of us outside. And we had duct taped we were doing like a three-legged run. And we had duct taped one of our entire legs to each other.
We were such idiots.
Yeah. And we were like, let's try to swing. And so we were on the swings. And then the coyotes started going off right in the woods behind us. And we fell off the swings. We tried to get up and run, but we couldn't because our legs were duct taped to each other. Mom was like looking at us out the window, and we're like on all fours, like scrambling, but our legs are duct taped together. And we thought we were going to die.
We honestly, okay, Moose is trying to sit on my lap right now. I wish I was recording this because I am a working mother right now. He is on my lap, and I am holding this podcast mic with one hand and the computer with my knees.
Okay, I'll take a picture for you for later.
Yeah, and we can post it on Instagram because this is ridiculous.
Yay, Eddie Moose. He doesn't care at all. He looks like a mad dog.
He is a mad dog.
Oh, my gosh. But,
no. Oh, my gosh. I totally forgot about that memory.
Yep. I think about that sometimes.
Man, we were so cool.
Or, yeah. No, you want to know something else? You remind me of this all the time when you lied to me that eating the crust of my pizza. Because I didn't like the crust of my pizza because it's just bread. Why would I want it? And she told me that if I would eat it. So that I didn't waste it, that I would become a better swimmer like she was.
Yeah, because I got bullied.
And so I started eating it.
I had to eat all my food when I was younger. I had a different childhood than you, bitch.
Well, it's not my fault.
Exactly. So I'm like, you know what?
So she would lie to me. She would lie. Anyone else you would do? Now I'm just hating on
her. I know. I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, what?
I was just her bitch, to be honest. Like, she'd be like, Julia, will you go get me water? And I was just like, yes,
Samantha. Because I knew that you'd get it for me. You never said no, so I was like, sure. And yeah. Honestly, me being the people pleaser that I am, I'm like, it's kind of nice to have someone else do something for you.
You know, maybe that's why I'm so good at saying no now, because you just took advantage of me.
Well, it was good for me for a while.
Now I'm just like, you do yourself.
You know what I remember growing up? Oh, okay. Okay. This is something that I am so happy to share with you guys.
Oh, no. I feel like you're about to let something in that you've been holding in. No,
it's a good ending. It's a good ending. Okay. So when I was walking down the driveway. So we lived in this house that's 6 acres. It was a quarter of an acre long. It was me and my dad walking down the driveway, and I always had my head down looking for rocks because I just love fucking rocks. I still have my rock collection in my garage. What?
I just love fucking rocks.
Okay. Shut the fuck up. Well, I do, but like... Well, like, okay.
You mean you fucking love rocks?
Yeah.
I love fucking rocks. You love rocks. We get it.
Yeah, I love.
I almost lost my life right there.
Yeah. No, okay. I see how I flip my words a little bit. Sometimes I don't think before I speak and then I say it and I'm like, yeah, I hope no one caught it. But you always seem to fucking catch it, okay?
Well, it's being recorded, so a lot of people are going to hear it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, I fucking love rocks. I found this rock that I'm not even kidding you. It's not even a rock, but it is rock. It is perfectly smooth. It is a perfect circle. And I was so fucking proud of this rock. And me being the best sister that I am, there was one day that I don't even remember what happened. Like, we came back and I was so proud of this rock. Julia and Nathan begged me for that rock for months. Mm-hmm. And something happened with Julia. Don't remember what it was. But me being just the sweet, sweet, sweet sister that I am, gave it to her.
I was probably sad. You used to give me things when I was sad and make me feel better. Like, you gave me that safe when my fish died.
Yeah.
You were like, that'll make you feel better. You can have
it. It did.
Yeah, it did.
See?
So it's probably something like that.
But giving gifts has always been my love language. Always. Like, even if it's not like a gift I buy, even if I'm picking up a coffee, like, I love just giving to other people.
Yeah.
And so I gave her this rock. And long story short, she just gave me back this rock this last year.
20 years later.
20 years later. I've asked her for this rock for 20 years. I'm like, hey, Julia, can I have that rock back? It just means a lot to me. Can I have that rock back? Would not give me this rock back. She's like, nope, you gave it to me. And I was like, you're such a fucking bitch sometimes.
You'll have to take a picture of the rock because it's literally like, it's unbelievably perfect. It's actually like a mystery.
It is a really cool rock. And I kind of like, it looks like a Mento, like those little Mentos or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a candy, right? The Mentos candy?
Yeah. We call it Mento Rock.
Yeah, it's our little Mento Rock. And she gave it back to me, and it is my pride and joy. I have it upstairs.
My pride and joy.
It is. I'm like, that is my, out of all of the rocks that I have, that is my favorite fucking rock. As you're making out with those.
Out of all the rocks I have, that's my favorite the rock. That's
hilarious. It is. It's such a beautiful rock.
Oh, what a memory. What a time.
So that really didn't answer the question, but you know what?
You got an
insight to our childhood. So that's it. Okay. Ow. Schooling background. So,
I stuck it. Ow!
If you stick your finger in his mouth, he is going to bite you and think you're playing. Don't rile him up, Julia. We still have questions to answer.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just want to pet him. I'm trying to pet him, but he keeps thinking I'm playing.
Well, you're stuck his finger directly in his mouth. I just watched you do it.
Gently petting him. Anyway, next one.
Anyway. I'm ready. Our ADHD is ADHDing. So our schooling background and how did we decide to get into our field? Honestly, I tried so hard to not go into medicine for a really long time. I went to school for nursing originally. Then I had a lot of personal life stuff happen and it was just not a really good time for me. And I went back to a small community college and I'm like, I'm just going to do generals. And then couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. So I was like, you know what? I'll just do business school. And business school seems like a good option because it is very broad. I can do whatever I want. And when I was in business school, I dual enrolled into my esthetician certification. And I did my esthetician program while I was finishing my business degree. And I was like, you know what? I think I want to go into skincare. And then after that, I had my esthetician certification and my business degree. And I applied for a job. And I told myself that if I didn't get it, I would go back for nursing. And I didn't get it. And it was a job that would have been local. And I would have been a rep for Allergan, like one of the companies that like has Botox and like skincare and all of that. And I didn't get the job because I just didn't have experience, which I totally get. Makes sense. I wouldn't have loved it anyway because I love what I do now. And I don't know. I feel like when you have a parent that does something, you don't want to do it because you're like, I don't want to follow in their footsteps. I want to have my own path. But like my parents both have really cool jobs and I can't wait to have them on to kind of talk about their path. Mm-hmm. And then after nursing school, my mom was like, well, you should really go for your master's degree. And me being the fucking yes person that I am, got bullied into going to my master's. So now I have my master's degree and I have a BSN on the way because my dumbass was like, let me just get some more letters behind my name. Come to find out, once you get your master's, you don't have it. You don't put the BSN behind your name. So I'm like, what was the fucking point of taking all those classes to get my BSN?
Wait, you mean MSN or BSN?
No, I got my BSN on the way.
Because
I was like, I want more letters behind my name. Because mom's always like, the more letters you have, the more credits you have. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that makes perfect sense. So I did it. Now, once you have your master's, you don't put the BSN.
Yep. It like replaces it.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm like, what the fuck was the point?
I got lost there for a second. I get what you're saying. Yep. That's fair.
So that's what I did. And then I threw in some random other certifications through that and all of that. But I wasn't sure what I wanted to do for a long time. And I have a hard time making decisions. I have a really hard time making decisions and committing to things. I really struggle because I just don't know. Like, I'm very indecisive.
And you don't want to make the wrong decision.
Yeah. And I have so many things that I love to do that it scares me to do one thing.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, I never want to do injecting full time, like 5 days a week, round the clock, because I really enjoy doing multiple different things and I get bored easily. Like, I get very bored and I get tapped out. I pour so much into things and then I'm like, okay, I'm done. That was fun. Bye.
Yeah.
And I like starting new projects.
Yeah.
But how did you get into your field? Because I feel like...
Yeah, that's funny though, because I kind of forgot how that played out. I forgot like the esthetician and everything. And then you started in nursing school. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, when I was in my business program before I went to esthetician school, I went to Berklee College of Music and got my creative writing certification for musicians. Yeah, so like I didn't know what I wanted to do for a long time.
Yeah. I forget about some of that.
Yeah.
What did I do? I was so dead set on I was going to the University of Minnesota and I was going to double major in communications and theater with a minor in French.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was the plan. Well, I mean, I started that. I was there for a week, so I got accepted. I moved in. I enrolled and I was there for welcome week. Did not attend one welcome week activity. I said absolutely not and ignored everybody and did my own thing the whole time. And
typical antisocial Julia.
Like, absolutely not. I'm not doing this shit. I get afraid about making friends.
Making friends is hard, especially when that's like a very scary time. Like a new college student is really scary.
Yeah. One, I didn't know a soul. The only person that I did know was a girl that I had met at like the orientation weekend or something.
And we went to a really small private school, like high school.
Yeah, so,
like,
I graduated with 10 kids. I don't know how to meet 3,000 people at once.
My class was bigger than yours.
Yeah. I was the smallest class. I graduated with 10. I was one of four girls.
That's insane. I had 13.
Yeah. And so like my friends ranged from 7th grade through 12th grade. I don't know how to meet thousands of people at one time without being like, oh my god,
I'm overwhelmed.
No panic. And I knew one girl from the orientation weekend, but she, when I saw her, she like already had a group of friends with her. And I was like, I'm just going to rock it alone.
I'm running.
I'm hiding in my room. Yeah, I was a little antisocial because I was so afraid. But so I moved in. And the night, this is also the same time that I was going through all the negotiations with the labels and everything about music and like if I was going to sign, who I was going to go with. And so I decided to sign I don't think I did for another month, but the night before classes started, I kind of had a discussion with my parents, and they were like, hey, like, you can defer if you want to. And I didn't really consider that an option, but the night before classes, I pulled out of the U, I deferred my enrollment, I moved out. Everyone was like, what the fuck is happening? Are you moving in or out? And I was like, bye. So yeah, so I attended Welcome Week, and that was my experience with the U. I deferred, I decided to take, I took like a year off, and then the label started to do what labels do, and I started to just take generals online, and then, I think I took random generals online for like 2 years, because
like,
I was like,
kind of just like, that's what I did with the community college, like I wasn't sure.
Because mom was like, you should just get some credits, so that when you do decide, you already have your generals done. So I kind of finished those, and then right before the pandemic, like that fall, I was like, you know, I kind of want to do nursing. And I honestly don't even know where that urge came from. I was just like, if I had to pick a field, that's what I'd want my degree in. So I just kind of abruptly enrolled in nursing school and did that, went through the pandemic. It was fucking brutal.
Oh, being a nursing student through the pandemic, because I graduated 2020. October 1st, 2020.
Because you didn't get your pin ceremony either.
No, I didn't get a pinning ceremony. Our clinicals were just shit. Like, it was just not a good time. Like, being a nursing student is hard enough, but a nursing student during COVID, I felt so bad for everyone who went to traditional nursing, like bedside nursing after, because you were just so underprepared.
Yeah.
It was awful, but you totally reminded me something about Welcome Week. I don't think I've ever told you this.
Oh, no.
So, during my Welcome Week at Bethel, because I moved in, that was my first college that I attended was Bethel.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to live in the dorms. This is going to be great. Fucking hated it.
Yeah.
But moved in. You will not believe you know how, like, I don't know if they did this at the U, but they had all the other students come and help you, like, move into, like, get you excited. So there's all these, like, older classmates, like, that came. Like,
if they did, I ignored them.
Yeah. Like, it was, like, juniors and seniors. I was like, this is so awesome. Fucking dad grabbed something out of the car.
Oh no, I hate it already.
I know. He grabbed something out of the car, which was all of my fucking toiletries. All these tampons and everything went everywhere off of the ground because he took. I was like, I was so embarrassed. I was like, this is not. I was like, dad, I was like, it's always me that you have to embarrass, but not intentionally. I'm like, fuck.
And you can't be mad because it wasn't on purpose.
No, but I was so pissed. I was just mortified. I literally turned and walked away. Like, I didn't even look at him. I was just like, oh.
Yeah, if I ignore it, it's not there.
I was like, I'm just not. I'm going to pretend it didn't happen. And I got back in the car and I just sat there.
I don't know who's that is.
I was like, I need a fucking second.
I need a second. I did not know about that.
It's giving me a headache just thinking about it. Anyway, okay, so moving on. I was like, I don't think I've ever told you. How did my nerd cluster obsession start? Honestly, I have no fucking idea.
You walked into work one day and you're like, Julia, oh my God, look what I got. And you showed me them and you've been eating them literally every single day since. But I don't know where you got them.
As they're sitting next to me, I don't know where I tried them first. I feel like, I don't know.
I feel like you just picked them up at the store. Because I remember you came to work and you were like, look what I found at the store.
You know what? Like I think that. I did. Like, I'm the type of person that loves to try new things. And if I don't like them, then I just give them to someone else. Same with like makeup or like hair products. Like, I love to try new things. Yeah. So I tend to do that. And then I'm like, oh, here, I'll give it to someone else if I don't. And I'm obsessed. I can't stop. Okay, who is your favorite person to work with and why? Is it me? I wish I wrote down who asked these questions. Honestly, we have such a good fucking team that we work with.
We do.
We have a really good team. I feel like it's really hard working for a corporate company always because corporate just runs things like such a tight ship because they have to, which I totally get business-wise.
Yeah.
But I feel like our team is really strong and we all really care about each other. We want each other to succeed. Like, I cross refer, like, we all cross refer to each other, which is really, really cool.
And I feel like I am very thankful. I feel very blessed that, like, I genuinely love my coworkers. Like, I love to go in the morning and see them and hang out with them and talk to them and, like, sit up front and chat with them. Like, I love seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like sometimes people dread, like, I don't want to deal with this bitch today. But, like, I love everyone. Like, in our spa is amazing.
It totally is. Totally. I could not agree more. I'm trying to find, because there's a question that I wanted to ask. Some of these are, like, asked twice because I just wrote them all down. So I'm skipping through. But there is one that I was kind of wanting to highlight. And it was, give a little insight on your music career, Jeff. Because I feel like you guys have seen me on social media, and Julia, now that this music stuff is way long over, at least that stage of your life with, like, the record and all of that, label and whatnot,
yeah,
like, kind of fill them in on that.
Yeah. So it's funny because obviously I was going to go to school for theater. I really wanted to act. Acting was my thing. I wanted to act so bad. And so I did like a showcase thing, and they were like, you know, if you can sing, sing. If you can dance, like whatever skill you can get in front of people with. So I like, I did a little bit of singing.
I know. And this is where this all started, because yeah. I was like, I want to sing so bad.
It was kind of an accident. Here's the thing is, I always loved music, but I always told myself was not good enough. I wasn't good enough. I didn't have a good enough voice. I wouldn't be able to do it. And I wanted to act. So I kind of just, I wrote it off. I was like, you're not going to do music. You can't. You're not good enough. And then I got a call from someone in New York that was like, hey, like your singing reel ended up in front of me. I'd love to introduce you to this person. And then they introduced me to this person, this one. And I started writing, and I got connected with a producer down in Nashville, and kind of just whirlwind, wrote a few songs, recorded a few songs, which are Inner Demons, I'm Not Her, and I Like to Call Home, if you're welcome up. I sound very young and little, because I am. But they were like, within the first 10 songs, I wrote all of them. And after that, it was the summer before I went to college. Broke my collarbone while I was out. I was like, I'm going to send it to our lovely KDWB and just be like, hey, I'm a local songwriter. Will you make my Monday and play my song? Because that was a bit they used to do, was make my Monday. So I sent them my song, and they did. They called me and they were like, we're going to make your Monday. We're going to play your song. And I was shocked, because that's just, they don't do that. Like, no. That's not something that they do. But they played Inner Demons, and it just fucking blew up. And within 3 days, I had like multiple publishers, labels reaching out to me via email, Facebook Messenger. They were like, hey, who are you? Why are you on the radio? Like, what right. the fuck?
The small girl from Minnesota, what?
Yeah, like, how did you wrote your own song and you got it on the, like, biggest pop station in your city? Like, who the fuck are you? And so it kind of blew up, and I ended up signing with a label right before I was supposed to go to the U, and did that for a couple years, but kind of, you know, the things you hear about labels, they're probably all true.
And not the good things, the things that we just don't really do.
I would say the first 6 months were super cool, super fun, maybe in the first year. And then it kind of just, yeah, I kind of got shelved, and I wasn't allowed to do anything, of course, without permission. And
because once you're locked into a contract, like, they own you.
Yeah. And we had mutual approval, so they couldn't release anything, but I also couldn't release anything. And obviously, I was new and not well known, and I wasn't making them a lot of money. And so I still wanted to do it, but I don't feel like, I couldn't get in contact with people for the longest stint of silence was like 9 months that I was emailing and calling and texting and getting canceled on and getting pretty much ghosted for 9 months. And they were like, insane. Oh, sorry. Like, we were busy. And I was like, great. So I finally got off that a few years later. It took me like a year to fight to get off, but I'm still doing it. I'm technically with an independent right now. But I'm really kind of just letting it unfold, because it's been a really frustrating, it's a very frustrating industry. If you know, like, if you're creative, yeah. You're in it for the creative portion and to make the music and to make the art.
I think that's the hardest part about being creative is creatives get so taken advantage of because they usually don't have the business sense. Mm-hmm. They have the creative energy and that they care so much about their art that they just want their art to get out there.
Yeah, you just love making it.
Yeah.
Like, that's where your passion is.
Oh, for sure.
But then they're like, okay, but is this going to trend on TikTok? And can you dance this? And can you make it whatever? And it's all that type of stuff where it's like, I get it from a business perspective, but I just like making it, man.
Well, that's really what's so shitty is, like I said earlier today, like, you were on the live too. I was like, I feel like some of the most creative and the most genuine people I know with the coolest stories and the mm-hmm. coolest things about them, they don't even have, like, they aren't seen and heard because mm-hmm. they just don't have the sense to want to be online or talk about things, or they don't have a platform to tell their story. But it's like
have a social media presence.
Yeah. Nor do they want one. Yeah. Like, I know so many people that don't want one, like dad, but he has like such a cool life story. Mm-hmm. I'm like, can't wait to tell his life story. Yeah. Don't click that button. Whatever you do.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm like, that'll mute you. Don't click that button.
Turn me off.
But yeah. So no, that's her music career. And it was so funny because I will never forget when she said that her song was going to be on KDWB. And my first thought was like, are you fucking kidding me?
She was so mad.
I was, because literally my whole life, I was like, I'm going to be a singer. I'm going to be a singer. That's all I want to be. I want to be a singer. And then for her that, I was like, Julia, you said you wanted to act. That kind
of accidentally happened. So yeah. I think that was the most frustrating, because I literally just sent it in on a whim and was like, please help me out, guys. Yeah. I would love for you to play it. And they did, and it was so kind of accidental. And then how I kind of got discovered was accidental. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so not planned that you were like, what the fuck? I've intentionally wanted this forever, and it's just accidentally happening to you?
Yeah.
And yeah, and I wanted to act. Like, that was my That's what I wanted.
And I think that goes back to like where you said in the beginning of the episode, where it's like, if it's meant to be for you, it will be. Yeah. You just have to keep working at it. And if something falls in your lap like that, obviously it was supposed to. And mm-hmm. it's supposed to be. And I know that now. But when I was what? How old was I? 16? 17? 18?
No, I was 17 or 18. So you were
21. Yeah. So like, and that was just like a time where I was like, oh, what the fuck? Yep. Like, crazy.
Yep.
But now I'm like, it's fine. So. Yeah. A couple more questions we'll ask because then we got to wrap it up. And yep. then next will be Nathan's episode.
Oh, boy.
I'm not even kidding you, you guys. You, like, I'm stressed about that episode because he says reckless shit
for fun. You're going to have to figure out how to censor.
I'm gonna, yeah, because, like, he says it for fun. He doesn't mean it, but he just likes hilarious. To get a rise. Yes.
But he loves to piss people off.
But he loves to piss people off, but in the funny way. But, like, you have to know him to know that he's not doing it intentionally to hurt you. But, like, oh, man. But he's fucking funny if you get to know him. So,
he is.
A couple more questions for you, Jen, and then we're going to let you go.
Thanks.
And go take care of your diabetes. So.
Oh, okay.
I'm like.
I'm alive. I'm at 67. I'm chilling.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Do you need a snack?
I have a snack.
Do you need some water?
No.
Do you need some juice?
No.
Do you need some wine?
No.
You want a nerd cluster? Okay.
So I'm chilling.
Okay. So, what was it like growing up with me?
Let's see. I actually very much enjoyed having you as a sister and as an older sister. Because you, like, I really just enjoyed spending time with you. Like, I would just watch you play. I don't want to play with you necessarily. I want to watch you play Barbies, watch you play Polly Pockets.
Maybe that's where my love for attention comes from.
Probably. Because I gave you nothing but attention.
And Nathan, too. Like, he would just sit there and just watch.
You just wanted to watch.
I was just so fun to watch.
You were just, like, fun to follow around, kind of. I don't know what it was, but, like, you were just fun to follow. And I also feel like you were, I mean, still to this day, you're very self-starter and very whatever. So, like, you would, if you wanted to collect rocks, I wanted to. And then you wanted to paint them. I want to paint them. And then you wanted to sell them. Let's make some money.
Yeah.
And you would do that with soap. Like, let's make soap. Like, you would find new projects. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And still to this day, that's what happens. Lip oils, I'm your minion. Like,
yep, it's so
I'll be your bitch. That's fine. But you've always been that way where you've, like, found new little projects and I just want to be part of it.
I have always said, like, I'm definitely, like, someone who comes up with so many ideas. Like, and that's where I get so overwhelmed because I have so many things that I would love to do, but I have a really hard time prioritizing.
Yeah.
And that's where I love Julia when she comes in because I'm like, Julia, I want to do this, but I need help. It's like, I almost need that push and that kickstart and someone to, like, be my little minion.
And my, like, ADHD, I love, like, stupid little tasks like that. So I'm like, oh, you want me to put 400 stickers on? So, gotcha.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm like, that seems like the most daunting task. Or even like adding people to close friends. I'm like, I love the idea of it and I can't wait to be it. But like,
my tendonitis is flaring.
I'll Venmo you later.
I will say too, another thing that I think about having you as like an older sister when we were kids is like, still again, to this day, you're so like, you want to help and like you'd give someone the shirt off your back. But like as kids, I remember like when we'd go trick-or-treating, if I didn't get my kind of candy that I liked, you'd be like, well, you can have all of mine of these. I don't like them that much. Like, you were so that way as a kid, too. And it was just, like, if I was bummed about something, you're like, well, you can have mine. It's okay. I don't need it. And, like, it was just, I remember that was so cute. And you've always been like that.
I'm like, my people-pleasing started young.
Oh, yeah. Day one, baby.
It's honestly, it's sad because it's like, yes, it's people-pleasing in a way, but I also love to make other people happy. Like, I'm a big.
You're just a good person. You're a kind person.
Thanks, Joe.
You care a lot.
And I think that the wrong people take advantage of that, which in my lifetime, I've had so much of that. Yeah. And that's what I love about Julia is that she's kind of my backbone. Like, she's like,
say no.
Yeah. And like, if I like, I'm like, oh, maybe I should say this. She's like, no, you have a right to be mad. Say this. And I'm like, okay. Like, I will literally text her when I'm in an argument with like Nathan or my mom. I'm like, Julia, I'm so fucking fuming right now. And she'll be like, okay. And I'll explain the situation. And she'll be like, nope, you have a right to be pissed. You can say this. And I'm like, okay, Julia said I could say it, so I can say it.
I'm like the moderator.
Yes, you are.
I'm your lawyer.
You are. Honestly, you would have been a great fucking lawyer. Julia's, oh my gosh, when you get into an actual argument with her, like, she runs you in circles with your words so much to the point where I get so flustered that I, like, start crying and then I yell because I'm like, I don't know how to even talk to you.
You sound terrible. I feel like if I really am passionate about the subject, I will talk you in circles.
Oh yeah.
But I have to really like, I have to have the evidence and the points that I want to make, and I have to like care, because if I don't care, I'm like, you know what, cool, you can be upset, that's fine, I don't have the energy to fight with you. But if I care,
run. I'm serious, I choose not to argue with her, and I've learned that now. I'm like, I really try not to argue with her because she scares the shit out of me, but not in like a scared, like, oh my gosh, she's going to kill me type of way, but like because she's just so intentional and everything she says is so factual and she uses all these big words and I'm like,
these big words. And that's where I feel like I like to argue when I am very confident I'm right. Like, if I know I'm right, I will be relentless because I have the facts to back up my argument.
Yeah.
If I'm not sure, I'll be like, ah.
It's so true. Mm-hmm. But, so yeah, that, I'm glad you liked growing up with me, though.
Yeah, it was a good time.
It was a good time. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. We did. We had, oh no.
I have a memory.
You just scared my poor child.
I'm sorry, Dougie.
Sorry, Momo.
I'm sorry, little man. Do you remember this is what you guys need to know about Savannah. Oh my gosh. Oh, do you remember our Plymouth house? We shared a room, two separate beds, every fucking night. Every single night. You would ask me every 5 minutes, are you asleep? Hey, are you asleep? Are you still awake? Hey, Julie, are you awake? Are you awake? And I'd be like, yeah, this is your codependency beginning. Every 5 minutes, she would ask if I was still awake. And then to make sure that I wouldn't fall asleep, she would make me get into her bed, in her tiny little twin-ass bed, and sleep with her because she didn't want to be alone and she didn't like the dark. So I'd sleep in her bed.
I hated the dark.
But then if I was still falling asleep and she couldn't, she would force me to wake up with her, and then we would watch House on her iPod Touch until she was tired. And then we could go to bed.
You know what?
That is where my sleep deprivation started.
It is so true. But I was also that kid that never slept. Like, I could not fall asleep for the life of me. And then the house got quiet. And being a kid, like, I was so scared all the time. Like, I was a very, I don't know why, but I was a very anxious child. And, like, till I was, like, 10 or 11, I would write letters to my mom and dad. And I was like, can I sleep in your bed tonight? Because I'm scared. Yeah. Like, I was just a very anxious kid. I didn't want to be alone.
Anxious attachment.
Yeah, I definitely have that anxious attachment. So I'm working on that in therapy. Don't worry. I'm working on it. Thank you, Laura, for that. Shout out, Laura. So I definitely have always been that way. And that's so funny because I do remember that. You know what else I remember? Mm-hmm. There was one night we read that one book that Edgar Allan Poe, maybe?
Telltale Heart?
Yes.
Yep.
And it was like the heart under the floorboards. I did not sleep for like 2 fucking weeks, and I could have sworn I heard a heartbeat under our floorboards because our house was like an old house, and you could see through the floor into the laundry room. And
I always crack into the laundry room.
And I always looked and I'm like, if the light is still on, mom is still up, I'm okay. And every time I'd be like, mom, how long are you going to be up for? Because then I would try to like make myself tired.
She would have to fall asleep before the light turned off because she wanted someone to be awake.
Yeah. And I knew that she was up. And that book scared the shit out of me for like weeks. Yeah, week straight. You didn't
sleep in your bed forever.
Thanks for
sleeping. And then when I finally got my own room, you would still sometimes check.
I just didn't want to be alone.
But then I depended on you, so when I was in my own room, I was like, man, are you still awake?
I know. Ugh, and then terrible. You wanted me.
Created a monster.
My monster.
Wow, I'm just having so many flashbacks.
I know. I'm actually loving this because I'm like, this is going to be good memories for us to have. Hi, Zeus. Let's see. We'll ask 2 more questions.
Okay.
You kind of already answered what it was like growing up with an older sister. I took the fall for everything.
It's beautiful. Loved it. So responsible you are.
So responsible. So responsible. I do like the story that you wrote about painting the rocks, though, because we would have so much fun. We would make these, like, well, Julia would, I don't know if you would sit there, but, like, at the cabin when we would make these crafts, I was, like, what, 7, 10?
Yep.
I would go and sit. We had this little, like,
I'd sit with you as your assistant.
Yeah, that's
very
right.
Very special.
We would sit at this open lot in between, and I would try to sell these crafts to all of our neighbors.
Painted rocks.
These painted rocks. And these bracelets.
Homemade soaps.
And cards.
That?
Homemade cards.
Yes!
Like,
folded paper with a drawing on.
Yes. I would literally sell foot rubs to my family. I'm like, I'm going to be an entrepreneur at, like, 7. That was such a good time.
What a time.
I thought I was rich when they would give me $1 for a foot rub. Now I look back and I'm like, you screwed me. I'm like, you screwed me over. That's so fucked up.
That's so funny.
But it was such a good memory. Okay. What were we like as children? I feel like we kind of answered that.
Yeah.
I feel like Julia was a very hypochondriac child.
Yeah.
She was very
anxious child.
Anxious child. Like, she could not go to kindergarten because she would cry every single day to the point where my mom had to homeschool her.
It's funny. I feel like I'm a very different person than I was a child. Like,
yeah.
Like, I still have anxious, anxiety, whatever. I'm still that kind of person. But I feel like I was such a shy, nervous, introverted child.
And I feel like it was hard, too, because, like, we didn't have neighbors. We didn't have, like, a community of kids. Like, it was just me and Julia and then Nathan and on our 6 acres of land, and then our school was a small private school. So, like, we just had the people that we grew up with, and the people that we went to the school with kind of stayed the whole time from, like, 7th grade to 12th grade.
Yeah.
So we just kind of knew everyone. And I don't know where you got, like, I would say we were all anxious kids, except for Nathan. Nathan was such a chill
chillest,
kid.
Yeah.
He was such a chill kid. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, did we, like, I don't.
The genes skipped that one.
The genes skipped that one. But I'm like, I don't know how that happened. Because I'm like.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like you are very similar to your child self. Like, I feel like there's a lot of parallels, a lot of similar personality traits, and I feel like I'm a very different person.
You're definitely very different.
Yeah, like, I feel like...
You grew out of the anxiety, the fears that you had growing up, you now know that they weren't, like...
Yeah, well, it's interesting, because I just feel like I used to be the most shy child. I would not speak, and now, like, I'm the most talkative person at the gym, and people are like, why are you still here? Like, you've been here for 4 hours.
I know.
Like, I feel like in some ways I've gone the complete opposite. It's very odd.
No, for sure. I think you just grew out of some of those things that you were so scared of because you realized that the world wasn't out there to get you. And I feel like some of the things that you probably, like, that you went through, like, I don't know. There's little things that affect you differently when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Like, getting your hands dirty or, like, oh my gosh, I just thought of a good memory.
Oh no, I don't feel like this is going to be a good one.
This is a really good memory.
Okay.
Do you remember when we were little and we would go out with flashlights with dad when it would rain and we'd go pick up earthworms?
Yes.
And we would have the time of our lives picking up these freaking earthworms that were coming up. And we were like, dad, you can have these for fishing. And we had so much fun.
Yeah.
I don't know why. We always
hold the flashlight. And we felt so, it was always so exciting because we had to stay up late to do it.
Yeah.
It'd be like 9 o'clock.
It had to be at night when it was dark.
And we always felt so special when dad's like, tonight's the night.
I know.
It was like 9 o'clock at night. We were like, we need to stay up late and go on worms.
That was such a good fucking memory.
We were always proud when we would hold the flashlight and he would get it. We'd feel like we helped.
Oh, I know. Gosh. That was such a good memory.
Yeah, we'd go on the trails behind the
house. Yes. Oh, that was such a good memory. Cute. I just thought of that.
You guys are just getting memory lane today.
I know. Honestly, that's probably going to be the title of this one. This is literally just straight up memories.
Oh my God.
This is an insight to our childhood so you guys can understand us better. Mm-hmm. And we always, since we lived on 6 acres, we had cats. And there was one time I killed Julia's cat. I will own that. I know.
You know what? People, trigger warning. Yeah, she killed my cat because we had a golf cart and she were only like 10.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And she got on the golf cart and, you know, cats like to crawl up and sit on top of the wheels where it's warm. And that's why you're supposed to give it a little gas.
I didn't know it was 10. I shouldn't be driving.
So they can get scared and like get off and know what's happening. She just floored it. And my poor kitten, my poor baby kitten.
Okay, you don't have to emphasize it.
I'm gonna cry.
But I brought a kitten back to life.
Oh my God. Yeah, but I will never forget the image. Oh my God. I can't even talk about it.
I know.
She killed my cat. She ran
over.
It was a kitten. I hate it. Let's talk about something else.
I know. But that's the hard part is like when you're young, you just don't know. Like now I know, but I would have never known.
You don't know. And it just.
Well, there was one time that mom drove to the YMCA and there was a cat that was stuck in her car.
Yeah.
In her, like, wheel well of her car, and it lived.
It was, like, in the exhaust something. Yeah. Like, yeah, and it was a little kitten, and it lives, and it was fine. It was the weirdest. We heard meowing the whole, I think she even checked the wheels. She goes, something is meowing, and I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Sure enough, we got there, and we pulled the cat out of somewhere.
Yeah, no, and.
That's terrible.
But I do remember that there was a really cold winter, and it was, like, we had 5 kittens.
Six. We had 7 because remember she wouldn't feed one of them.
Yeah.
Because,
so we had 7 kittens and the mama cat.
It was too many.
There was too many of them. She couldn't feed them all. So she drug one, probably the weakest one, mm-hmm. out to like let it die because she couldn't feed it. And it was just so heartbreaking. But it's like, that's the animal life.
Selection, yeah, maybe.
Just is what it is. And I will never forget. We went out in the morning and this one cat was like head down, not moving. Didn't look like she was breathing.
Oh, it's terrible.
It was so sad. And we were like, mom, we have to bring these kittens in. It's too cold. Because they were out in the garage. They were outdoor cats. Yep. And she finally let us bring them in, which, like, my mom never lets us do, but she felt bad.
It was so cold.
And my mom was like, all right, well, let's pick up this kitten. Let's throw it away because it's not alive. And I was like, no, this kitten is alive. This kitten's going to come back to life. I brought it back in by the fireplace. Yeah. And I, like, nursed it back to health.
Yeah, warmed it up by the fire.
Yeah.
And then it lived and it was such a cute little baby.
I know. I named her Sunday because she was my little Sunday miracle.
Because, she almost died on a Sunday.
And she only had half a ear. Because her ear was frozen off. I was like, oh my gosh. But yeah,
it's so cute.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're talking about this.
I don't know.
I totally forgot what we're talking about.
Okay, last ADHD moment. Do you remember when mom hit the skunk on the way home? Our room was right by the garage. Our whole room smelled like skunk forever. And
we were
like, mom, what the fuck did you do? She goes, oh, I hit an animal on the way home. I was like, mom, what animal did you hit?
Oh my God. Yeah. And you couldn't take her car anywhere because you'd get in the car and you were just going to throw up.
Oh, just our whole room was so awful because it was right by our room.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Last question, guys, because we are going on ADHD tangents. I know. I'm like, I actually kind of like this. This is kind of fun because I forget about it. Yeah. And I'm like, you're sparking things in my brain.
That's so funny.
Okay. Ready?
Yep.
Last question with a close.
Last one. Was that a drum roll or what?
I don't know. It was a tambourine. I don't know.
Okay, what's the What's the last one?
I was trying to buy myself some time because there's just so many good questions. I don't know. Okay, last question is, have we always been this close? And what is your favorite thing to do in your free time?
I really do feel like we've always been this close.
Yeah.
Even like we have gone through periods where we obviously were jealous and or whatever and we butted heads, but I do feel like we've always been this close.
And I feel like at the end of the day, like I would always, like we would always die for each other. Yeah. Like if Julia was like suffering, like I would be there. Like there's nothing I wouldn't do.
It's the very classic, like if we're in a fight, but someone's being mean to you, it's like, okay, no, pause on our fight. Uh-uh. Like,
yeah,
I will step in and have your back and then we can continue our fight later.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, like. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I do feel like we've always been this close.
I agree with you.
Which I like.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
What was the other part?
Oh, yeah. The other part was, because I wanted to ask this anyway, what's your favorite thing to do in your free time?
Like by myself or like with you?
Both.
Well, this is with you, like hang out like this, honestly.
Shopping. Oh, shopping's fun.
Or I do. Sometimes I like being your bitch. I like putting stickers on shit.
Honestly, Julia loves it. And I love it because I love the help. Like, I literally have been begging her to like be my assistant and pay her to be my assistant, but she's just unreliable.
Okay. No. Don't dox me like that. The problem is that our schedules are so difficult to coordinate.
It's hard.
So, but I love, like, she'll give me the most random jobs. Like, hey, can you fold, like, if any of you guys bought an espresso martini lip oil, I folded the tissue paper for every single box, okay? That was, like, 500 boxes.
You did.
Loved it. It was so much fun. And then, like, I put labels on all of it. Like, all of her lip oils, like, I put all the stickers on.
Yeah,
so
she definitely, she loves the tedious little tasks. Well, and I love that because that's something that overwhelms me. It really overwhelms me.
I could sit there for 2 hours and put stickers on bottles. I don't know what it is, but I'm like, I'm having so much fun.
I wish we could, like, trade half of me and half of what you have and, like, put it in a little combination, you know?
Yeah.
But what's your favorite thing to do in your free time by yourself?
Besides
watch Grey's.
Grey's Anatomy. Big Netflix binge watcher person. I like to play piano.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go to the gym. But honestly, after, especially if it's been a busy week, I really just love to veg. I love to just...
You've always been good at that.
I'm so good at it. I'm so good at sitting there doing nothing, watching Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, folding some laundry. It's
a beautiful, beautiful time. Folding some laundry is beautiful time.
I love laundry.
That's how you want to finish this episode. I love laundry.
That is probably the weirdest thing about me. I love to do laundry. Like, if I could do laundry every day, I could. I love folding laundry. I love doing laundry.
What the fuck?
I don't know. I don't know. I love doing laundry.
I just love that about you.
What do you like to do in your free time?
Not laundry. I'll tell you that. No, I feel like I do have to have all my chores done before I, like sit down to do something else because otherwise I ponder on it. I'm like, I have laundry to fold or I have dishes. I need a clean space because my brain is so fucking busy all the time.
Yep.
I feel like my free time lately has been filled with a lot of like creative stuff, like creating content or like working on the podcast. And sometimes it gets overwhelming because it's also like work. So I try to find that balance.
Yeah.
I would say definitely watching Grey's, which you got me fucking addicted to. Ooh, ooh. And that I'm like on season 11, I cannot stop. But
so good.
That, and I also like for me, for my brain to calm down, I do have to take a gummy or like have a glass of wine. And I know it's probably not the healthiest thing, but like my brain is always going. And ever since I was little, I struggle with sleeping. So it's like, if I don't have something to like lower my brain down, it will just keep going and wandering. And my mom's like that too. Like, she's very always thinking.
Yep. Go.
Uh-huh. So I definitely like that. Shopping online's fun. Shopping online's a problem, but it's so fun. I also have really been enjoying, with this nicer weather, taking Moose on his walks. Like, we go on a walk every day and it's been so fun.
Yeah.
And I love, like, I don't know, just
hanging with the dogs.
Honestly, I just like cuddling with him. He's like my perfect little companion.
He's just a baby.
And you guys, now this is an hour and 13 minute episode.
That was so much information.
I'm sorry that we went on all of our ADHD tangents. But
you're going to get 20 minutes in and be like, what are they talking about?
You know what? I think that's what's so fun, though, is that it's like we really don't have a plan and we just go. We wing it.
As much as you could possibly wing it.
Yeah. And
you know, I don't know. I had a good time.
I had a great time. And it's going to be, it's kind of fun because I feel like then you guys get to hear how it was with us growing up, like what we were like.
And learn more about her super fun sister.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You are really fun, though.
I like you. Yeah. I would like to say that a few of your followers have said that I'm so funny, and I would just like to thank them personally because some people have said that I'm not funny.
I think you're funny. I think my thing is with Julia is I've always said this. I can take sarcasm for a little bit, for a little bit and I'll joke and I'll be okay. And then something will be said that's just a little too far for me. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you only can take it in doses.
Yeah, like I can't do a lot of it. It really does start to affect me.
You know what it is? I don't think you can take the sarcasm when it is interpreted or feels like a personal attack.
Yeah.
I think you can handle it when it's just generically funny or like about something else. But if it's angled towards you or you feel like you're being shamed or attacked or whatever, that's when you, which is fair.
First child syndrome. Ooh. Ooh. So yeah, no, that's definitely true. But Julia is funny as fuck. And Julia, why don't you put your Instagram handle and just tell them all of your stuff. Oh, yes,
if you'd like to see more of my hilarious moments.
You should never post.
I'm really bad at social media. I can't lie.
It's so funny because we're like so opposite in that. I love it. And Julia's like, I don't care.
I'm so bad at it. I'll be really good at it for like a week and then I'll just disappear. But I'm technically there if you want to look me up. I'm technically there if you want to look me up. Julia Brennan Music on Instagram. I got a Facebook page. I don't have Twitter. I technically have TikTok. I'm the worst at TikTok.
So.
Instagram, if you want to see me, that's where you can maybe see me.
I don't know. Like, is that like a generational thing? Because I really like Instagram. I don't like TikTok. It bothers me. It is so, like, my ADHD just.
Like, I like watching them. But I think I hate the pressure to be on it, to be honest.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, people, like, you have to be on TikTok. TikTok is the only way. And I'm like, I don't disagree with you, but I hate the pressure.
And I hate feeling like I have to conform to make it.
Yeah.
And then that's where I'm like, for the longest time, people are like, you have to be on TikTok, you have to be on TikTok. And I'm like, okay, but, like, I don't want to be on TikTok. I like creating the content and having it be a little more, like, thought out and a little more planned and a little more creative. Like, I don't like the... Like, that's why you have Snapchat.
Or, like, you get so discouraged. Honestly, I wish TikTok would almost take away the views and the like counts.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I want to make videos, but then you feel stupid if you only get 7 views. Like, you feel like, damn, I'm not doing well or I'm bad at this. Like, you feel discouraged.
Oh, totally.
Or if you put a lot of effort into one video and you're like, wow, I got 30 likes and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, it makes you feel like, damn, I tried so hard. And, like, the algorithm and all this bullshit where it's like.
Well, and I feel like there's so many people that pop off that truly don't bring, like, genuine, like.
Like, you watch your videos and you're like, why are you famous?
Yeah.
Why
are you? It's like, what are you bringing to the world that's good for the world other than, like, being, like, your ADHD thoughts or whatever? It's like, what are you bringing to make this world a better place?
Yeah, like, the most random people are quote-unquote famous.
I know. And I'm just like, there's so many people I know that are trying so hard to make it in this space. And I'm like, they have so much to offer. They have so much education, so much knowledge. Mm-hmm. But, like, it gets defeating after a while. Yeah. It totally does. Yeah. I totally could relate to that.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm on social media, but, like, you might just... I can be good about it once in a while.
She's elusive. So you gotta follow her enough to know. Because then when she pops off for a week, then you can watch her for a week.
You'll be there.
Oh, wow. And don't worry.
Don't want to miss it.
I'll be posting her on mine, too. Oh, she can't get away from me.
I really can't. You guys, if you watched her live stream, you saw her attack me.
I wish that Julia would just let me post whatever. But honestly, I'm a good sister, and I always ask before.
Yes, I appreciate it. I just wasn't prepared.
Until it's your birthday, then I have full reign to embarrass you. God. And that is the deal.
Lord. All right. Well, yeah, Julia
Brennan. All right. Julia Brennan Music on social media. And we love y'all so much.
Thanks, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.